In ancient times, winter was more perilous. There was no guarantee that you would make it through those cold, dark nights. No guarantee that you'd have enough food, that there would be a way to stay warm. And so when you would make it through the halfway point of winter, it was worth celebrating. And the halfway point of winter is February 2nd. We've somehow decided to call it Groundhog Day in our society, where this little fella watches his shadow or doesn't, and then we learn what the weather should be. But in ancient times, February 2nd had a more rich understanding to it, a tradition, where people would gather their candles together. Candles, a great symbol of light and warmth, of being carried through the season of darkness. They'd gather their candles together, bring them to the church, and they'd gather the church candles as well, and they would bless them. This gathering of the candles was called Candlemas, February 2nd. It was also when they would celebrate the purification of Mary and the dedication of Jesus in the temple, where old Simeon said, "The light of all nations is here." And then night after night, after the people would take their candles home, the sun would set and vesper light would fill the skies. Night after night, they would light these candles, the candles that had been blessed. And there was no special blessing about them except the fact that they had been set apart for a great remembrance. For the candles pointed toward something greater than just light. No. Light has shone in darkness. The light of the world will prevail. This light of the world, eventually celebrated by Simeon, as I mentioned, showed up in his hometown church, the hometown synagogue, and he stood up to read. We read about this last week, and in remembrance of last week, we heard Jesus say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And those are great words. They are warm words spoken to Jesus' audience who were experiencing a darkness, like an eternal winter, through the oppression of Rome. They were prisoners in their own homes, in their own country. And because Rome was so violent, so threatening, these people were blinded by fear. What good news this was to hear indeed that the Lord planned and was going to send his Messiah into the world to thaw the winter. And yet as these people heard the word, they appreciated the warmth, but then they receded. They backed right out of it and they thought, "Wait a second, this cannot be you. You cannot be the Messiah. You, we watched you grow up. You are not the Messiah." Their hearts recede and their hearts then begin to fill with an icy rage. How dare this Jesus joke about the Messiah? How dare he change our tradition, our story, our hope? Jesus, perceiving the ice that was building up in their hearts, brings up two old familiar stories that the people would know. They were stories of great tradition. The first was of the prophet Elijah. Jesus shares the story when Elijah was sent not to the people of Israel, but way out of their country to the northland, up to a place called Zarephath in the land of Sidon. There Elijah, after the journey, met a widow. And because the journey was long, Elijah says, "Do you have any food?" The widow and all the land, really, were experiencing a great famine. And when she heard Elijah make his request, she just melts. She says, I don't have much left. I have a little flour, a little oil, and I was going to make one last loaf of bread for my son and myself, and then we were going to die. Elijah, he then speaks a word from the Lord to her and says a simple phrase, do not be afraid. And somehow this word from the Lord, again channeled through the prophet Elijah, enters that widow's heart, and she goes in, she makes a loaf of bread, and the little bit of flour, the little bit of oil, it doesn't disappear. There's plenty, and it lasts for days upon days upon days after that. Why her? Why that widow in a country far away from God's people? Why her? The second story Jesus drew on was the story of Elisha, the one who followed after Elijah. In this story, Jesus helps his people to remember that Elisha had this reputation of being a healer, that the Lord God, the Lord of the people of Israel, would heal people. Naaman, this warrior leader who was again from the north country, from Syria this time, he had heard about it. For not only was Naaman a warrior leader, he was also a leper, a man with a terrifying skin illness. Spent his whole life with it. So Naaman hears word that maybe there's hope. Hope in the God and even in the people of Israel. So Naaman sends his messenger down to go talk with Elisha, and Elisha sends his guy out to talk with Naaman's guy. And Elisha's person says, tell Naaman this. Go down to the Jordan, wash 7 times in that Jordan River, and you will be healed. Naaman hears of this and he says, it can't be that easy. I've spent my whole life with this disease. It cannot be that easy. And besides that, I know of a lot better rivers to take a bath in than your filthy Jordan. Then a friend of Naaman says, no, give it a try. So Naaman goes down to the Jordan, washes 7 times, and after the 7th time, he comes up out of the water, and this warrior leader who used to be a leper now has skin that the scriptures say is as soft as a young child's. Why him? Why him? Why the widow? Why these people who were not of God's people, but foreigners, people who probably had different religions, different worldviews? Indeed, who did the light of the world come to shine on? It's as if Jesus draws these stories up into the hearts of the people to say, look to whom the light of the world has come for. You indeed, but the light is for all nations, all the Gentiles, all the peoples of different nationality, different religions, different worldviews, whomever they are, the light of the world is for them. Now the crowd would have none of it. The crowd around Jesus that day, already cold in heart, then begin to clench their jaws, and they begin to push him out of their town towards the hill where there was a cliff. They're going to drop him off the edge. He did not match the vision of their Messiah, a Messiah who would come to make them great. This Jesus did not match the image of their desire to become powerful, for their nation to become great. They would have none of it. And so they push, and yet Jesus just slips through their midst. The light of the world, the good news of Jesus Christ departs, leaves them behind. Their frozen fingers could not grasp or control the good news. Jesus caused quite a storm that day, didn't he? And this Jesus continues to cause a storm within our hearts, for we know well and good that our hearts are too often icy and cold. Filled with darkness, our sinful hearts clash against this Jesus. And yet, time and again, he comes to us gently so not to break us sometimes. And he whispers in our ears, "Do not be afraid. Believe. Trust me." And indeed, just like the widow and the leper, who were not from here, who were of different worldview, different religion, different nationality, the good news has come to us. For look at us. We too were once of different worldviews, different religions, different nationalities, and yet we are gathered by the light of the world. And not only gathered, our sins are forgiven. For the light went to the cross and defeated the darkest night that death could bring. Our sins are forgiven, and we know that new life is ahead of us. And just like the widow and the leper that Jesus talked about, different people of different worldviews, backgrounds, and religions will be gathered together. Indeed, different racial backgrounds, different religions, different persuasions, different political beliefs, even people of different sexual orientation, these will be gathered by Jesus to be loved, to be cared for, to be cherished, to be forgiven. For to whom else is the light of the world sent? And in so seeing Jesus, our hearts are filled with peace. And with hearts filled with peace, we, the people of God, are transformed, shaped, renewed into the likeness of Jesus. And the world then begins to see peace and life blooming from within us. And in so seeing, a new people is then formed. God is praised, God saves, God forgives. And new life begins to sprout, even in the darkest of times. Amen. Now may the peace that Jesus himself brings continue to take root in your hearts, that new life may sprout from there and become available to others. Amen.